Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
And amen. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, saints. Hallelujah. I just want to welcome you all here, not just those who are in the sanctuary, but actually those who may be tuning in on iChurch via the Spanish channel or the English channel. It is a blessing to be sharing with you today. This is Christians Community Center, the church for truth seekers. I'm Pastor Tom Washington. And if you want to let us know how this ministry has been to you, blessing, just check on your right-hand side of your screen or the bottom of your screen. There should be some contact information. I believe it says, contact us. Let us know. Also, it is because of your faithful support and giving that we're able to even share iChurch. So if you feel moved and led, there's a give button as well if you want to plant seeds in this ministry so that iChurch can continue. We thank you for your support. Last and not least, if you are also a truth seeker as we are, and if you want to know the Savior at a deeper level, you can first start to get to know him by his true Hebrew name, which is Yeshua. All right. I'm excited because Yahweh is really doing a work in us. I really believe that in 2014, he's preparing us for something. I really believe that his kingdom needs to be magnified, his kingdom needs to be glorified, and I don't want to be a part of that. How many of you want to be a part of that? All right, so that's why we kind of submit ourselves to his word, because we want him to show us, lead us, guide us, direct us. And so the subject matter that he's been giving us, I mean, the apostle, he swung that hammer on spiritual guidance last Sunday. And it's all just lining up. We had Pastor Dorsey come visit us from TCC Seattle on Wednesday night for Bible study, and he shared with us. Amen. It was just, you know, the word is just like, it's cutting everywhere. Yes, it is off the chain, brother. All right. So even in our study of faith, working your faith that we're doing on Wednesday nights, and even now in this hunger for holiness, it's all about preparation. See, the enemy wants to take you off track. He wants to destroy what it is that you've built up. And so these messages, these series are designed to keep you on track. Who wants to be on track? I want to be on track. And so I know you do too. Turn to 2 Corinthians. And we're talking about hunger for holiness. This is something that you've got to want. You've got to want to be better. You've got to want the Holy Spirit to manifest in your life. And so what we're finding out is that Yahweh is really showing us the things that it is that we need to do. And as you turn to the second Corinthians chapter 7, we have been highlighting the difference between righteousness and holiness. We know now that righteousness and justification and sanctification, those are all things that we are. We are righteous. That's who we are. But holiness is how we live. That is our lifestyle. And they won't see our righteousness. They won't see our justification. They won't see that we've been sanctified and set apart. They won't see those things. They won't see that we've been redeemed if we don't show the world that we're living holy. And the word of Yahweh says, Yahweh himself says, that be ye holy as I am holy. So that's something that we need to do. And so we should be hungering and desiring for holiness. We should want to do that. And the Bible says in the seventh chapter, do you have 2 Corinthians? All right, so let's look at the first verse. And it says what? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the reverence. That's what fear means in the Hebrew, the reverence of Yahweh. So we're finding out that this is something that we have to do. Yahweh, he already did the work in us. When we came to him through Yeshua, he redeemed us. He justified us. He made us righteous. He sanctified us. And he says, now I need you to live holy. That's my work. That's your work. That's what you do. And so we've been finding out. So are we perfect? No. But we are what? Perfecting holiness. That means we're striving for it. We're maturing in Yahweh, and we're lending ourselves to it, right? Doesn't mean that we're perfect already. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to perfect holiness. We would just be holiness. But it says there's a work, and the work is what? Perfecting. He doesn't do the perfecting. He just supplies his word. We do the perfecting. You got to do it. You have to do the pursuit. You have to want it. Tell your neighbor, you got to want it. Okay. Anything you want, you work for it. And that's what holiness is. That's something that you're striving for. All right. And so one of my favorite verses is when we look at Rome. Now, you don't have to turn there. But anybody that knows your word, Romans 8:28 says all things, what? Working together. So for the good. Listen, this is good for you. Holiness and a holy lifestyle is good for you. He's provided his word and he's provided his spirit so that we can make out good. So don't act like it's bad. Don't act like it's taking anything away from you. His word, his spirit is working together for your good. Tell your neighbors, for your good. So you got to receive this thing that we're talking about, right? You got to receive it and understand that it's good. Who knows what good stuff is? I know good stuff when I hear it and I see it. And I've seen Yahweh work. I've seen him manifest himself in my life and other folks' life. And I have determined beyond a shadow of a doubt that Yahweh is good. He's good. So whatever he says is good. Whatever he does is good. And if I want to be good, I need to follow after him. Right? Because that's what we want. We want to be good. We want things to work out good for our families. We want things to work out and good in our homes, our relationships, on our jobs. You want finances to be good? Then pursue goodness. Pursue holiness. Pursue God. And he's already told us the stuff that we need to do. So you got to want it to get it. All right? So we're going to have fun with this. And I probably need to put a parent advisory on some of this stuff that I'm going to talk about. Parents, you don't want your kids to hear the real deal? Maybe you should make sure they're in children's church where they're supposed to be. Because we're going to get down to nitty gritty. Who don't mind the nitty gritty? Okay, I don't mind. You know, I just want to talk truth. I'm a truth seeker. So we gonna get some truth up in here. I'm gonna tell you like it T.I. is. All right. So we know the Yahweh is. So turn to Ephesians real quickly, the fourth chapter. So I love it because holiness is our target. That's what we're shooting for. And everybody's like, we're not perfect, but we're shooting for it. We're pressing towards the mark. So what does press mean? That means there's some work involved. You got to deal with this flesh. You got to press this flesh through the things of Yahweh, right? Because it's always fighting against us. So that's what we want. We need to live this set-apart lifestyle. That's what holiness is. So we're pressing toward the mark. Last time we left off around Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and it's the 22nd verse. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. So Ephesians 4:22. And this says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Okay, it's already been established that we've been transformed. When we came to Yeshua, we've been baptized in his name. We were filled with his spirit. He transformed us. All right? Anything that happened before that is the old man. Anything that happened before that is the old woman. Right? The old conversation is not how we used to talk, though that's part of it. But conversation means your lifestyle. That's the Hebrew interpretation of it, is that when you see conversation, it's your lifestyle, how you're living. And so it says that you put off the former lifestyle, the old man. Somebody say the old woman. That's what you used to be before you came to him. And it even describes the nature of that. It says, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Deceitful lust don't sound good to me. Now, we understand that it's based in deceit. Anything that's based in deceit is of the enemy. We should want to have no parts of it, right? But we're always fighting the flesh because the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to desire the things of the world. But thank you, Yahweh, for my recreated spirit. Because my recreated spirit wants the things of Yahweh. That's what it desires. Right? So there is a battle between your recreated spirit and your flesh. And you want your spirit to win. But you have to want your spirit to win. And so we look at Ephesians, but now the 22nd chapter, according to the deceitful lust. 23. And be renewed in the what? Spirit of your mind, right? Now, we have to constantly renew that. The mind needs to constantly renew, yeah, because the mind is connected to the flesh, and the mind wants to think crazy stuff, and it wants the flesh to act it out. You know that old song that says the knee bone's connected to the neck bone, knee bone's not connected to the neck bone, but but everything's connected. So your mind is connected to your flesh. It wants to tell your flesh to do it, act out. Say, why don't you? The mind says, hey, why don't you try some of that? So feet's got to get to moving. Hands got to get to grabbing and touching. And before you know it, you involved. Right? So Yahweh's trying to stop us before we get involved. He's trying to give you the tools you need to put your flesh under subjection so that the spirit man wins. I want the spirit man to be a winner. I want the spirit man to be a winner. Right? All right. 24th verse says, and that you put on, say put on, that don't mean Yahweh put it on, that means you put it on. It says, and that ye, so let's turn the ye to you. So tell your neighbor, the ye is you, it's us, okay? So that means we got to put it on. We got to put on the new man. The new man is available to us. But we got to what? Put it on. So that means that's work involved for us. And see, too many believers get it wrong. They think that they automatically got it. Uh-uh. It ain't automatic. Holiness ain't automatic. You got to put holiness on. And you got to wear it well. You got to wear it. And you got to do it. You got to make it fit. You got to wear it. Okay. So, again, that establishes that we got to do the work. All right? So, 2 Timothy, let's go there really quickly. It's not automatic. Holiness ain't automatic. Stop thinking that holiness is automatic. And you wondering, well, I'm saved. Why am I still thinking like this? Because you attached to the flesh. As long are living in this body, this flesh, you got to fight against it. It's a boxing match between the flesh and my recreated spirit. And my recreated spirit is going to be victorious. It's already victorious. Right? But see, people think the devil defeats you. He's like, because you thinking bad thoughts, you bad. No, the thoughts don't belong to you. Okay, let's get that right. The thoughts are running through the flesh. But when you start to entertain the thought and you take it on as your own, then it becomes yours. Then you got a problem. Then it's going down. But see, I'm tired of people thinking that you say it's going down when it's something good. You as a believer, if you know something is working together for your good, you should be saying it's going up. So stop saying it's going down. It's going up. Tell your neighbor it's going up. Turn down for what? It's going up. That's what we should want, right? But when you get involved with the flesh and you take those thoughts on at your own, then it's going down. And you're about to get taken down. And you got to look at it that way. Listen, check this out. I deal with this flesh every day. Pastor Tom, you perfect. I got to fight this flesh down. Why? Because I see stuff. I mean, we do. I'm a man. And I have those feelings because I'm attached to this flesh. Sisters, you ain't exempt. You see stuff too. And you think it look good. Ooh. But you got to fight against that, right? But it's a daily fight, 24/7 fight. You always got to keep this in check. Right? Yeah, your eye is going to wander. Don't think that you're bad because your eye is wandering, but have enough spiritual strength to bring the eye back away. Bring it back. You know, bring it back because it's going to wander. It's just the flesh. Tell yourself it's just the flesh. Yourself, it's just the flesh. You got to allow the spirit to take control and win that situation. So a lot, the enemy, I'm trying to point out that the enemy wants to defeat you by telling you you're already bad. But you're not in bad until you engage. Just because you thinking it ain't bad. See, we have the power. We got something called the Holy Ghost working in our behalf. And so when them thoughts come, all we got to do is cast it down in the name of Yeshua. I cast that down. I get back over here in the name of Yeshua. Down flesh in the name of Yeshua. You got to do it. All right. So, if we look, it's the truth though. I'm telling y'all, we're going to talk real. I've been just laying the foundation for holiness, but now we got to get in it. So, it says the 2 Timothy, are you there? Okay. 2nd chapter. Are you there? 21st verse. All right. It says, if a man or a woman therefore purge himself or herself from these, he or she shall be a vessel under honor, sanctified and meet, that means prepared for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. See, Yahweh is trying to use you for something. Somebody needs their hands laid on them for healing. You know, you might need to pray and agree with somebody, right? You might need to witness and deliver the gospel to somebody. But if you have fallen into sin, you're not going to be ready for the power to flow through you like it should. You don't know when Yahweh is going to use you. So the bottom line is that you need to stay ready for every good work. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that's the problem. We're so into ourselves and into this flesh thing that he can't use us when he needs to use us. He can't work through us. We can't even get a prayer through because we done gotten our mind and done something. But the Bible says here that if we purge ourselves, then we are going to be prepared unto every what? Good work. I want to be used for good work. All right? So the 22nd chapter, the 22nd verse, gives you the remedy for an immediate situation that you might find yourself in, and it says, flee. If you don't know what flee means, it means run. It means get up out of there, remove yourself from the situation, exit stage right or left or wherever it is, get out of town, Brown. You gotta get out. You know, sometimes you just gotta flee. Sometimes you just gotta turn the other way and run, right? If that eye is still trying to find itself wandering, just leave the situation. If the eye won't cooperate, then have the feet get involved and walk away. Because it says, flee, also youthful lust, but follow something else. So once I run away from that filthiness, I'm running to righteousness and faith, which is emunah, and charity, which is love, and peace, which is shalom, with them that call on Yahweh out of a pure. So you in a situation, all you got to do is say, and I'm gonna use this example because the apostle just he said it. He was in a situation where this broad was trying to push up on him. I'm just going to tell the truth. At where he worked, at the Internal Revenue Service. Now, he got his kids at home, which I'm one of them. And he had his wife at home, right, which is my mother. And this woman is at his job trying to push up on him, talking about, do you want a piece of gum? And they were working late. And so he was kind of conflicted. He said, Lord have mercy. And then he said, I love Jesus. But guess what he did? It said, those, he's going to provide righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord of a pure heart. So when his flesh was weak, his spirit man called out, I love Jesus. And the lady said, get on out of here. So therefore, he was delivered. Hallelujah. Because if he had not been delivered at that moment, who knows? Only God and the devil know. So sometimes you got to what? You got to run, and sometimes you got to call him up and tell him what you want. He will find a way of escape. All right, so that's what we got to do. We never know when that stuff is going to happen. It's a battle. It's a fight, right? And so go to the 12th verse. It says, oh, no, I didn't take you there yet. It's okay. Go to 1 Timothy. I'm looking okay. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I love it. And we're just going to touch on it real quick. 1 Timothy. We were in 2 Timothy. Now we're going to 1st. So you shouldn't be flipping too far. All right. So 1 Timothy, the 6th verse, the 11th chapter. You got to say, I got it? All right. It says, but thou, O man of God, O man of Yahweh, O woman of Yahweh, flee. Again, a confirmation that we need to get up out of here. We need to run sometimes, physically run. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 12, fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Everybody say fight.
Fight.
That's what you got to do. You got to fight the good fight. You got to fight. This is a thing. We fight in the flesh. And until we leave here and are completely in our glorified body, we got to fight. We always got to fight. Why I got to fight all the time? Because you live in. You living in this flesh. And as long as you're living in this flesh, you got to keep on fighting. Oh, but you got the Holy Ghost help you through that. You got the word of Yahweh. That's why the Bible says you got to put on the whole armor, y'all. Come on, y'all. Act like you know the word. Put on the what? Well, if you got to put on armor, that means something. Number one, it means I need to be protected for something. And number two, it means that I need to fight something. Because not only do I have the armor on, but I got some shields. And I mean, I got a sword. And I'm swinging it. Tell your neighbor, swing it. Fight. We got to fight. That's what we do. Some of y'all just be giving up. You don't even fight. You just lay down. You don't even put up a fight. I mean, come on. Try to fight. Stand up for something. You don't have to keep on getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down. I don't like that song. We fall down, we get up, we fall down. I like the whining song better. It says, it's good to know he'll be there if ever I fall, but it's better to know that I don't have to fall at all. Right? It's better to know that. Right? That I don't have to fall at all. All right. So, let's go to Galatians. Lord. Galatians, the fifth chapter. So, this is where the rubber's starting to meet the road. I could tell you how to pursue holiness and what holiness means and all of that and the stuff that you should be doing. Sometimes it's better to illustrate the things that you shouldn't be doing and how they come and be able to recognize them when they present themselves. And that's the kind of stuff that we need to address, because sometimes we act dumb. If we don't break stuff down sometimes and sometimes we be trying to be polite and be like, oh, we don't want to go there. No, we need to go there. Sometimes we need to just talk about stuff. And when you look at the fifth chapter of Galatians, the 16th verse, it says what? This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill. Oh, there's a way of escape, huh? It's called walking in the Spirit, people. It's called allowing yourself to allow the Spirit man to take control, and you follow the lighted path of the Word. The Word says the Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. What does that mean? That means it's showing me where to go, right? And if I'm going the way of the lighted path, that's walking in the Spirit, because the path of light is the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit. So I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm letting the Word illuminate my way. That's what I'm supposed to do. And if I do that, I'm not going to fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh. And so 17th verse says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. We've already talked about this. And the Spirit against the flesh. It's a fight. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. 18, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, if you're in the Spirit, the flesh don't have no power over you anymore. You've already overcome, all right? And so if we look at the 19th verse, now the works of the flesh are manifest. And I like the New King James Version where it says the works of the flesh are evident. You know what it is. You know what a work of the flesh is. But I need to break it down a little bit more for you. And so it says, what are these? And it says, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious. Okay. I want to spend some time on adultery. Because there's fleshly adultery. And there's spiritual adultery. And a lot of times, we act like we don't know the difference, so we're going to talk about it. Adultery means that you are married, you're in a union covenant with Yahweh, and you're bringing someone else in who's outside of that. So if you're married, and you're fooling around with somebody, whether they be married or unmarried, that's adultery. Well, guess what I found out a deep meaning of adultery is? If you look into Greek and Hebrew, adultery means adultery. If I look at the Hebrew, adultery means adultery. So we understand that adultery is adultery. It means that you are having illicit transactions, sexual transactions with what? Somebody other than your mate. Now, there is a physical adultery, and there is a spiritual adultery. There's also an emotional adultery. See, we need to let you all know who are in this new age. See, you got this computer screen, and you think because the person ain't there with you, quiet in here, that because you ain't physically touching that person, that is not adultery. But I'm here to tell you, if you got some mountains and valleys on a computer screen and you doing something with it, and you even you're looking at it into eye gaze, you're committing adultery. Y'all didn't want to hear that. If it's not a real person, as some of you tried to say, and maybe it's someone who's on a film, or we call that pornography, someone that you don't know, and if you are engaging with that image on the film, then you are committing and lusting towards adultery. Oh my goodness. Well, the Bible, how do you know that? The Bible says, the Bible don't say, if I'm looking at porn, you don't have to. See, there was porn back then. It just wasn't on film. They'd have parties and stuff. And those things would go right on in front of you. Orgies and all that. And even if you didn't get involved in it, those that were looking at it were indulging. Wow, it's quiet in here. Because guess what? Sexual sin is the most prevalent sin discussed in the Bible. Why is that? It's because it's the most easiest one to get involved in. And because it's so easy to get involved in, I praise Yahweh that he's given us so much word on it that we cannot err in the way. Because if we look further into this chapter, it says the works of the flesh are these. And then it lists them, and then when you get to the bottom, it says, and the like. What does that mean? Even stuff that is like it or associated with it is something that you shouldn't be doing. All right? Ooh, so let's take a journey. I gotta say this. Marriage is a beautiful thing. It's actually a miracle. See, y'all think it's something that's on paper, but it is a spiritual recreation, two people coming together, forming one person. That's how Yahweh looks at it, that two become one under the sanctity of his covenant, and then he allows the sexual relations to take place as part of that miracle. Why? Because actually two people become one. There is a spiritual exchange that takes place. And then the miracle of that spiritual exchange between two people is the creation of another life. And if anybody knows about birth, that is a miracle. And it's a beautiful thing that takes place when it's right. But when we take it outside of there, then it becomes something else. And when you have sex with somebody that you're not married to and all these different things, you become exchanged and connected to people that you don't want to be connected to. You form what's called soul ties. And the stuff that is attached to that person becomes attached to you. Baggage. All kinds of all that mess that you think that is separate, when you enter in with somebody, that stuff become yours too. And everybody that's entered into some illicit stuff, you know what I'm talking about. even form a covenant, right? And we've talked about this before. So let's go here. It's quiet, but it's the truth, though. We about to see. You want to keep that miracle a beautiful thing. You want to keep that miracle something that is under the sanctity and allowance and ordination of Yahweh. Let's go to Mishle, Proverbs, the fifth chapter. And we got to see something. Because I guess, you know, I got to show you in the Word. I mean, I can take you to Exodus, and it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I can take you to Leviticus, thou shalt not do that. I could do that. It doesn't give you a 3D effect. It does not, it just tells you not to do it, but you don't get a picture. So I'm about to paint a picture for you. Mishle, Proverbs, the fifth chapter. Let's go to the first verse. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Somebody say, my daughter. He's talking to y'all too. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Wait, hold up. So, brothers, the lips of a strange woman, that means a woman outside of your marriage, drop as a honeycomb. See, the devil has a way of amplifying things. He makes things that's really not that way, but he makes it appear that way. See, when you're in an illicit affair, all that danger, it's become sweet. And you think it's so good, right? It's adding to the hype. It's hyped. Because you're thinking that what you have at home ain't as good as what else is out there, right? So then you go to the honeycomb. And it says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Wow. I mean, that sounds good, don't it? And it might feel good at the time. But then I get to the fourth. But her end is bitter. That's wormwood. And if anybody knows about wormwood, that's some bad stuff, because in the Revelations, when the wormwood falls from the sky, it's supposed to be a star that comes from the sky or meteor or whatever called wormwood. And when it falls into the water, it makes all of the waters of the earth, the oceans, all bitter. It destroys the life force of the oceans. So therefore, this woman who you thought was the honeycomb and you thought was smoother than oil, her end is as wormwood and as sharp as a two-edged sword. She gonna cut you. Oh, she gonna draw blood. She gonna draw physical blood sometimes, possibly, and spiritual. Hey, her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. She will take you down. If you get involved with this woman, she gonna take you what? Down to hell. Right? Sisters, I don't want to offend you, but just because it says a woman will take you down to hell don't mean that a man can't take you down to hell. It's the what? Same thing. Right? It says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Now, I will say this. If her feet are planted in hell, and if it says remove yourself from her, then get the hell out. It's the truth. Y'all don't like me say, what? He said that? Yeah. The Bible said that her feet were what? Planted in hell. And it told me to get what? Because if you don't get the hell out, hell will get you. That's the way it is. And it says right here, what? Come. Wait. Remove yourself far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. See, some of y'all brothers have been going to her house. And the Bible is trying to stop you before you make a terrible mistake. See, so I could just tell you, don't do it. But now this has painted a wonderful picture, hasn't it? Talking about the lips and the feet and everything. Smooth as oil and all that. And it says, thank you for reminding me about that. This was written by Solomon. We know this. Well, Solomon had 700 wives. I don't see how anybody have time for that. So if anybody knows the wiles of women, it would be this dude. And the women took him down. He's talking from what? Experience! Right? And I read somewhere in the Word that this dude got all drunk. And just because this girl was looking good, he was like, and I want y'all to tell me who it was. Because she was looking good, he was like, I'll give you half my kingdom. Sheba, who was that? We're going to have to look that one up. I was like, what? She said, I'll give you what? Half. He said, half my kingdom. That must be some real good stuff. That you would give away what? Half your kingdom for that. See, when you see the fall of a man, most of the time it's from lust. You know? It'll make you lose your mind. It got you crazy. It gets you crazy. You find yourself doing stuff. You spend the money that you ain't got. I don't see how people creep around because you not have enough money for the woman you got. How you got enough some more money from another woman? And I'm sure she won't stop. So now you got two. You rolling like that? But it'll take you what? So it told you don't even go to her house. So let me share something with y'all. I said don't go near her. I got to say this. Y'all know when it's coming on. And what this is, let me say this real quick. I need to put this down. When you see it, let me just be real. If you're married, and you see something, someone that looks attractive to you, that's where it starts. See, it's the attraction. See, some of y'all are attracted to some of these espoused brothers up in here. And some of you brothers might be attracted to some espoused women. And attraction is okay because you're human. But when you say, ooh, brother so-and-so look good, that you got to cast that down. That's where it starts. And that's how things start to, what? Move. If you see somebody to make you move the other way. Run! And begin to cast that down.
down and start praying on that thing and get that out of your system. Take authority over that in the name of Yeshua. You got the power. And the enemy's going to try to take you down. But it starts with physical what? When you bumped into so-and-so at the prayer meeting, you felt something. The electricity. Y'all act like y'all not being real. Come on now. You felt the electricity. You know? Some of y'all, you know, thought the apostle was looking good. Yeah. They was trying to get at him. But it was the flesh. And that's what we have to take what? Authority over that. Right? Who wants to be victorious? Start speaking truth. Start speaking truth. Just be true. Be truthful with yourself. And then when you be truthful with yourself, then Yahweh can do something and turn your whole thing around. You got to nip that in the bud. When? Right there. Now. When you throw up those goose pimples, start casting it down. That's where it begins. There's always a start to something. Right? So that's how we're going to break this thing down. We're going to find out the mechanism. What makes this stuff start to operate and work? What's the trigger? And when you acknowledge the trigger, hey, you know, even if you have to pray, Yahweh, just make that person look ugly to me. Whatever is going to what? Work. Whatever is going to keep you holy. Whatever is going to keep you righteous. Whatever is going to keep you redeemed. Whatever is going to keep you sanctified and justified. And what's going to keep you saved. Ooh, Father Yahweh, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for caring enough about us to get it right. We're trying to get it right.